Now, with unemployment levels in the UK running at about 80% amongst the blind and partially sighted community, it shows that there are great challenges to gaining employment when living with a visual impairment. Now, it can be quite daunting, but there is help available. I'm joined now by James McCarthy, who is employment manager with the charity Blind in Business. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, first of all, tell us a bit about Blind in Business, a bit about your origins.
No problem. So, a bit of our background first. Started about 20 years ago when four incredibly talented graduates completed law degrees with all the high hopes and aspirations to take over the world. Unfortunately, they were going into an area that wasn't ready for them. So they had all the brains, all the ability, all the potential, but they struggled to do as well as their peers who they had kind of kept level with or outperformed academically. So they wanted to make a change, started Blind in Business to help qualified professional people and graduates full of potential with any visual impairments get kind of a level playing field in business. And we've been going from there. Obviously, the challenge has changed. So with advances in technology, advances in kind of accessibility and the IT that's out there, now someone with visual impairment should, in theory, at least we believe, be able to do just about any job going. But as you just said, with the unemployment figures, that's not the case. So that's why we exist, to help businesses understand that by saying no to someone with a visual impairment, they're probably not only doing that person a disservice, but doing the business itself a disservice. They won't be getting talented staff they could have in their workforce just because of their short-sightedness. And we also do a lot of work with universities and younger people to make sure that they know what support is out there and to aspire to the very best jobs, not just settle for something that someone tells them they can do. I'd say that's a snapshot.
What are the biggest challenges then for a visually impaired job applicant, would you say?
Pandora's box. obviously, no two visually impaired people are going through the exact same experience. So we can't say just because you can't see very well, you will struggle with this, this or this. So it depends. If I'm working with someone who's extremely talented, but is obviously visually impaired and living in a rural community, they would tell me their biggest challenge will be getting them from their house to the office and kind of the mobility side of things. If I'm working with someone in central London who is perfectly happy taking the tube around, their biggest challenge could be an employer being so scared of the idea of hiring someone who's blind that they're not given a fair chance. So I don't think there's a blanket solution, which doesn't make it any easier. But what is good is every year we get people into new industries. So 10 years ago, we may not have had many people as successful blind teachers. And now, because one person did it and the next person did it and the next person did it, we can go to any school that's thinking of hiring someone who's visually impaired but has some questions. And rather than it being hypothetical, you could do it this way, you could do it that way, we can say, go speak to this person here or that person here and find out how they're doing it every day. So biggest challenge is very much down to the individual's experience.
So the interview itself is, the process can be daunting, but we need to have confidence, don't we, when we are applying for a job, that we do have what it takes.
Yes, I think interviews are daunting whether you can see or not. So what we do, not about vision impairment at this stage, but we do practice interviews with people, and we do assessment day workshops where people come with us and they find out just what their graduate assessment day is going to be like. So they go to an organization, they do group exercises, they do individual interviews, they do group interviews, because I don't think it's necessarily a fear of sitting down and having a conversation with someone, which at the end of the day is what an interview is, but it's the fear of kind of the unknown. I don't know what I'm going to be faced with. And obviously, with vision impairments, it can be more difficult to pick up on those nonverbal cues in an interview. So if someone's nodding, encouraging you to speak more, you may miss out on that cue or the connection that comes with making direct eye contact with someone can be lost if you're not kind of trained and prepared to focus on where that person is and be quite direct about it. But I think we can't blame a visual impairment on an interview being scary, because fear of interviews is kind of a universal experience, I'd say.
What about the employers then? Because you've touched on this, but obviously employers need to be educated, because in a recent survey, they admitted that visual impairment was the disability that they would least like to hire.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's really shocking.
Presumably, they think of challenges there, but it's born through preconceived ideas as opposed to actually being informed.
I think it's all to do with being out of touch with reality. So if you look at, as I'm sure you have done before, the public perception of what blindness or the visually impaired experience is so disconnected from the real world. So on TV, you're going to see someone with a dark pair of glasses and a cane bumping into things in a comedy sketch, or everyone must have a golden retriever guide dog, otherwise they're not blind. So the biggest question employers ask when we're speaking to them is, how will this person practically do the job? Because beyond Braille, they don't understand what's out there. So we do a lot of confidence building with employers to show them the technology, to explain to them what the different sight loss experiences can be, how for one person you may need jaws and headphones, and another person may need to sit closer to a big screen that's using inverted colours. So it's definitely an education piece there. And it's also a reassurance that just because a blind person is working for you, you do not have to be their carer. All you have to do is be a good manager, be a good boss, be a good employer. It's not your job to hold their hands and guide them to the toilet or to go out and prepare food for them every day. There's a fallacy that as soon as someone walks through the door, you've got to be completely responsible for their every move. And you completely forget that they travelled from the house to the office independently and didn't get run over when they crossed the road and didn't fall down the stairs in the train station. So it's an education piece. And it's also, we need more publicity about the fantastic professionals that are out there being very successful at the moment who can't see so well. And that's not necessarily in place at the moment, because it's obviously, it can be a very invisible disability where someone wouldn't be aware you've got a visual impairment unless they've been told about it directly.
Do you think things are improving?
I certainly think they are. 10 years ago, the challenge would have been to convince employers that you can get value out of a blind employee. And for me now, I have lots of employers approach me trying to proactively make sure their workplace is accessible to someone who's visually impaired. I think the biggest challenge we face as an organisation, I don't know if this is mirrored across the sector, is I struggle to encourage people to challenge themselves and really push the boundaries of what they think they can do. So a young person who's 21 and about to graduate will often focus, when we're talking about their careers and we're doing the side coaching side of things, they'll be focusing on, well, I couldn't do that because of this, and I couldn't do that because of this, and I couldn't do that because of this. And I think that's because we shelter, kind of, we offer a huge amount of support through the schools we do, and then in university, there's a very secure bubble where you'll be offered help. Well, you should be at least left, right, and center. But because of this security that comes in kind of our nice bubble, our nice, we'll make everything as easy as possible for you, I think we should try and challenge people more. One of the things we do is every summer we take 10 visually impaired students water skiing, because we say if you can water ski, you can do pretty much anything. So for me, the challenge isn't convincing companies they can hire people with visual impairments. It's convincing blind and visually impaired students and graduates that they don't just deserve a job as a lawyer, they deserve a job at the very biggest law firms, and they shouldn't just work kind of perhaps in marketing or operations for their local sight loss charity if they aspire to work in Parliament as an MP. So the more we can publicise role models, I think that's the next step to really, really changing the status quo.
It's a huge topic, and it's one that we need to keep on with. For those who would like to find out more about Blind in Business, or perhaps are thinking of planning an application into a career, how do we find out more?
So the first place would be to go to our website, which is blindinbusiness.org.uk. And from there, there's information whether you're working as a disability expert within a school or university. We offer workshops, and we do lots of courses and seminars and evening sessions to try and raise awareness and aspirations. If you're a business, then get in touch with me, and we do lots of different HR training exercises to raise awareness and show just how easy it can be to not hire someone because they're visually impaired, but to get the very best out of a visually impaired member of staff. And then, especially with younger people, we've just launched a virtual reality gaming project, which is very exciting. So we're trying to show just how accessible everything can be. So we're now working with school children aged 11 to 18, and through computer gaming and video games, whether that's with headsets or the different accessible technology that's there, we're trying to engage with that audience and say that we'll do an afternoon on the PS4 with you, and show you that you can engage with anyone no matter who they are. So a lot of interesting things going on right now.
And all about building the confidence.
Agreed, 100% agreed.
James McCarthy, Employment Manager with Blind in Business. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Lovely to speak to you. Thanks for having me.